today on Real Radio.
You say, we shouldn't mix politics and religion. You cannot separate religion from politics and politics from religion because everybody has a view. Wake up. Someone's going to call the shots.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter understood the times they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how really big his God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would ultimately take care of them. Now, previously we learned that there is no other way to fellowship with Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience his suffering. Since the birth of the first century church, the gospel of Jesus has been under attack. That's the truth. The world despises the fact that we can find joy in every situation and that we have a peace that defies any understanding. And the truth is, whatever we're going through, we know that God loves us and has a plan for our lives and that our suffering is not without purpose. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God is waiting to hear from us. He wants us to repent and refrain from evil so that he can heal our land and deliver us with his loving grace. We only have a small window of time to act. We need to pray so that God will move on our behalf. And now from his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God is going to move again in this world. He's moving. But I believe because unlike any other nation on the face of the earth like Israel, God moved in this nation. And I found myself walking that city and reading one incredible God-glorifying statement or verse from the Bible that caused me to stop and say, oh God, do it again. One more time, God. This nation is in trouble. We are in great trouble.
Yes.
Our nation has forgotten God. And I looked around at what was going on, and I just thought about 1 Peter chapter 4 and what we could possibly talk about this morning and the fact that God is announcing to us that judgment must first begin at the house of God. That's a good thing, friend. God is about, I'm no prophet, I'm just stealing from the Bible. God is about to scrub and clean and prepare the church in the United States. She needs cleansing. Persecution must break out. It will come. It is extremely evident to me. Hear me out. Hear me out. Just hear me all the way through. I had a chance to be at the State Department recently. I'm telling you right now that, and it's not my opinion, that for the first time in what might be entire U.S. history, there are more people in power who love the Lord Jesus Christ than at any other time, and it is a remarkable, remarkable time. I'm not asking you to believe in their policies or their what or their demeanors, and I'll be very honest with you personally. Donald Trump believes in God, but I personally don't believe he's born again, at least not yet. But for some bizarro reason, I think it's God, he has surrounded himself with passionate believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's overwhelmingly evident. You cannot deny it. You can't deny it. God can use anybody he wants. He can even use me. He can even use you. Remember this, if you have a hard time with my statement a moment ago, God says, I install kings, I remove them. Remember that. So what am I talking about here right now today? That what I saw in Washington was an overwhelming presence of people excited, filled with hope. I saw people walking around daily waving little American flags. I saw high schoolers and junior highers on trips with their schools visiting the monuments, and they're looking at all these eyes. Listen, if this offends people, I'm sorry. I'm just reporting what I saw. When you see a 13-year-old and not just one of them wearing Make America Great Again hats, you say, well, that's an endorsement for Trump. Forget about that. Listen, you want to make America great again? Turn back to God if you want to make America great again. Turn back to God. And our nation right now is in a great struggle in all kinds of directions. Those that hate God are angry and mean and noisy. They get all the press. And then you see people that are like you, hardworking people, you care, you just want to live your life. You want to worship God, you want to raise your kids, you want to be left alone. And something's happening. I think we have a brief window of time. As I said, I've been to Washington, D.C. literally more times than I can count. I have never seen people more hopeful. I couldn't believe it. I went to the White House. I couldn't believe the attitude of the Secret Service. I've been to the White House before, and it was a different attitude. People on the street, something's different. I believe it's going to be short-lived, but something's different. I'm not endorsing one political group over another, but I will say this. There are some in a party that's very, very pro-God, loves God, and wants to obey God. And then there's a preponderance of those in the other that want to undermine everything about God, and we saw it. One group fought to have "In God We Trust" at the visitor center put up in the new visitor center in Washington, D.C., and the other group fought to have it removed. "In God We Trust." Does that offend you? This nation was built upon "In God We Trust." Here's the awesome thing about America. If you're offended by the existence of God, we love you anyway. You can live here. But the people who are offended by that, they don't want any of us to live here. Have you noticed that? You say, that's a political statement. Oh, no, it's not. It's an ideology. It is a belief system. It is a worldview. And I think we have a very small critical window, church, to stop being persuaded by the noisemakers and start finding out the truth about things. Your nation has been founded upon God. Just as Peter was announcing to the church, return to God, get back to God, get ready to meet God. The awesome thing about the United States of America as a nation, no one saw it coming, and there's no record of it in the Bible of it leaving. It just isn't there. It's an interesting truth. All nations will fail. And America's been given a death notice. It will die. But I believe that what's going on in our nation right now is one last call by God. Yeah. When you can have friends today with what's been going on this week, I don't know, you've been busy all week. I've been in Washington and in Canada, but I don't know if you saw the news. But in fact, let me back up. A couple of months ago, New York, right? New York, and was it Virginia? Their governments, which go ahead and look and see who's the ruling power of those governments. It could be your party. You say, we shouldn't mix politics and religion. You cannot separate religion from politics and politics from religion because everybody has a view. Wake up. Someone's going to call the shots. And in New York and in Virginia, they called the shots. I think it's Virginia. And they said, they voted, and they said, you know what? It's okay with us. Here's the new rule. 9 months, baby born, full term, baby not wanted by mom, baby dies. Right here, baby dies. How about putting up for adoption? No, baby dies. How about giving it to someone? No, baby dies. It's like they love it. You think God sees this? God says, I expect my people to defend those who cannot defend themselves and to speak up for those who have no voice. God says, speak for them. Speak for them. And I think the enemy in hell, Satan in hell, began to lick his rotten chops and rub his cloven hooves together and say, we got America on the ropes now. This baby's going down. This is going to sweep the nation. We're talking about the pagan worship of Moloch in the Bible and Remphan of the ancient pagans of the Bible. Isn't it funny? Throughout all of human history, when it comes to religion, explain this. Pagan religions are completely devoted to children. Oh, how so? To sacrifice them dead. Forget the people. Forget the religion. Do you know who's the puppeteer behind it all? It's Satan. He loves to kill babies. Read it in the Bible. Kill the babies in Egypt. Kill the babies in Jerusalem. Kill the babies. You say, what if a baby's not wanted? There are 100 million people waiting to adopt babies in America. Yeah. How about it? Oh, church. God wants to turn this nation around. I'm wondering if she's going to listen. But in those two states, killing a baby after it's born, complete, perfect, viable baby that you would love to adopt. But what happened? There's an outbreak taken off across this nation. And people in other states are holding their leaders accountable, and they're demanding, not in our state. Not in our state. And across America, decisions are being made that you are not going to exterminate a child. You say, well, but no one should legislate what you do to a woman's body. I agree with that. You should never legislate what a woman should do with her own body. That's her body. The problem is the baby inside of her is not her body. Right. It's a baby. Yeah. It's somebody else's body. You don't want the baby, give the baby away. If you don't want the baby, give the baby away. God says, I'll destroy a nation who sacrifices their children on the altar of paganism. What is happening right now? Pull back from the political persuasions. Don't get bogged down in that stuff, would you? Be smart. Look at the spiritual realm of it all. God is asking us in this time, right now, to make decisions, to vote, to pray, to get involved, to speak up while we have an opportunity, to defend the unborn child, children's rights, to stand for what's right and for what's good. And the Bible announces that judgment must first begin at the house of God. What does that mean? That means God looks to every believer, every one of us who say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And God turns right around and says, do you make Christian decisions? You raise your hand, are you a Christian? Do you make biblical decisions? Is that what guides your policies? Is that what guides your decisions in life, that you follow me? This is a serious thing. And I don't know how it's going to go, but I don't think it's a coincidence right now that these issues are in play. The God of heaven is watching down. He's looking down upon you and me to see what we're going to do. And he, based upon the cry of a people, he will move the players. Did you know that? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent, seek my face, cry out to me, then from heaven I will hear them and I will heal them of their sins, of their wicked ways. I'll heal their land, he said. He's waiting to hear from us. But what about the California legislature? Listen, God says, I can override that if my people will cry.
Yes.
Well, what about Gavin Newsom? He wants to destroy everything we believe in. Listen, God's not controlled by Gavin Newsom. We're supposed to pray for Gavin Newsom. We're supposed to, man, you want to freak Gavin Newsom out? Pray that God would save his soul. Can you imagine if Gavin Newsom became a believer in the Lord Jesus? Could you imagine? And that goes for anybody else. Anybody else. God says, I raise up kings and I pull them down. God is waiting to hear from his people. And then he moves. Did you know that? Doesn't the Bible say, you have not because you ask not? You are right now a citizen of the United States. When we talk about American exceptionalism, that's not a weird statement. The whole world knows what it means except Americans. Did you know that? I love you all, but we're so dumb. Oh, American exceptionalism, that sounds snooty. Who do we think we are? We shouldn't think like that. That's not what it means. American exceptionalism is God did an incredible work here. The whole world recognizes it, and they all want to immigrate here. Yes. It means that God did something abnormal among the nations of men. Excuse me, but everyone's trying to break into this country, not run away from it. It's still the greatest hope on earth because of its Judeo-Christian value. And I hope and pray God's not done. But God's word announces to us very clearly that time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. This is not bad news, church. This is good news. We're about ready to get out of here. Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, thank you.
And America is going to be cleansed by the fires of persecution. We have a brief time. I don't know the faith of President Trump, but I know the faith of those who are around him. The hour that we're in is a special time given to us by God. What will we do with it? Our economy's never been stronger. We are currently producing more millionaires a month than any other time in recorded American history. Did you know that? The United States now is completely oil independent. Number one oil producing and reserve nation on earth, United States. Did you know that? Did you know that we have record unemployment? All these things are remarkable, stellar. So what's that? Listen, this is the grace of God. It's not the genius of anybody else. And I want to just end with this. God has given us a short period of time. I learned while we were in Washington, D.C., that regarding a possible change of powers in the upcoming election, there's a particular party that wants to take power. And it ain't good for Christian television, Christian radio, or Christian publications. There's some serious times ahead. We need to seek the Lord. And we need, my friends, we need to be very, very aware that when you bow your knee to pray, God wants to move. The heavens are not yet brass. That he cannot hear us. He wants to hear our cry. The problem is we're not crying in America. We're too, look, especially in Southern California, we are so happy. We live in the happiest place on earth. That's what it says at Disneyland. We need to get ready. God in his loving grace is going to prepare the church. It's coming. It's soon. Can we stand for a moment as we close? Can we stand and pray with our hands up? I'm going to ask you to be radically Pentecostal. I'm joking, of course. I mean, go ahead. I mean, you can be. I mean, this is a non-denominational church. Just don't swing from the chandeliers that we don't have. But the Bible says that God's people ought to lift up their, by the way, it says God's people ought to lift up their holy hands. Did you know your hands are holy if you love the Lord Jesus? He has washed you clean, friend.
Thank you, Jesus.
So can we pray right now?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we lift our hands in prayer to you, Almighty God, creator of the universe. Lord, we pray from this humble spot, this little gathering, this one service, But God, we come together as though we were one person. Lord, if Elijah could stand alone and cry out to heaven and you move, how much more us who call to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son? Lord and Savior, we ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit to heal our land, that you would remove the scourge of child sacrifice from our land, the nation. God, that you'd put in office in any or every party men and women who can be controlled by your Holy Spirit, who would make the right decisions in the fear of God, who would realize that there's a day of judgment and every man will have to answer for their conduct and for their words. And that they would do the right thing. And Father, we pray that this continued influence of godly men and women in our nation's capital would continue. Lord, to hear that there are fasting and prayer meetings taking place across the capital area, dedicated to seeking you. Oh God, hear their prayers, hear our prayers. But oh Father, prepare each and every one of us in the name of Jesus to honor you, to not get bogged down in politics, but to do the will of God, that we are drawing breath by your grace and we might be able to affect a godless world by your mercy. That Heavenly Father, that you would look down upon this nation that you began, that you started. And Lord, that you would remember the cries of our founders, Winthrop and Bradford and so many others, and that you'd heal our land. Start with us in this room. Start with each and every one of us. Start with me. That we would all repent of our individual personal sins. That we would look to you and you alone as our purpose for living. And God, that we would be sold out for you uncompromisingly without wavering, to give you all the glory and to be ready for your coming or to be ready for your use. To God be the glory is our prayer today. Heal our land, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Cause us, oh God, to make a difference for kingdom's sake until you come. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. We're so glad you could join us today, and our prayer is that you put all that you are and all that you have in God's hands, where it's always going to be secure. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And just like Peter said, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is key. For the true believer, a close, intimate time with Jesus, well, that's our lifeline and our hope. It means that whatever we're facing or the difficult circumstances we find in our lives, we can have communion with our Savior who fills us and gives us strength. It's such an important part of our walk with God. And you know, if you need any help with your devotional time, we'd love to help. Just go to our website, that's at jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab there that's labeled Devotion. Once you're there, you'll find a verse and a personal weekly devotion from Pastor Jack. You'll also find previous devotions you can click on for daily reading. Now, with these tools, we'd also like to encourage you to find your own verses from God's Word and write your own personal story that relates to that verse. Again, you'll find the devotions tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.